We're going to catch up now on the effort to help victims of last year's tsunami. Billions of dollars in aid has been pledged, but that money is just beginning to help with the recovery. Workers on the ground blame bureaucracy and corruption, though almost all agree that the big problem is that the devastation was more serious than anyone could have imagined. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
You might think that Mike Delaney, director of humanitarian response at Oxfam America, would have seen it all, but he just returned from Aceh province in Indonesia.
It was almost a feeling of walking amidst a cemetery. And within one village where a man had said, you know, there were 2,500 people living here, only 300 survived, I actually underestimated the level of damage and the level of trauma in people's lives, and also what really still needs to be done.
To be sure, plenty has been done. Over 1 million children vaccinated, outbreaks of cholera and other diseases prevented, food aid given to 2 million people, some 1,500 schools rehabilitated by UNICEF. All told, governments and international agencies have pledged around $10 billion in relief. But Delaney says there could have been greater coordination among the aid organizations, greater collaboration among governments, NGOs, and the UN. There were unexpected problems. For example, sometimes the local organizations Oxfam normally works with, local fire, police, humanitarian groups, were simply wiped out. Just days ago, Oxfam International released a report criticizing the aid effort, saying the poor have often been overlooked. In Sri Lanka, some towns got quick medical assistance, while isolated villages didn't see medical supplies for almost a month. Successful businesses received aid. Small ones on the margins often did not. Housing has been a complex issue. Local governments had concerns that structures be culturally appropriate. Sean Callahan, vice president of overseas operations for Catholic Relief Services, says at times temporary housing was erected when permanent housing could have been built. Resources were there.
But we had to try to comply with government systems that were trying to set up a structure and have a lot of participation in their governments on where and how and what type of structures would be built.
Some countries have prevented people from living near the ocean, creating buffer zones of 100 to 200 meters. Oxfam's Mike Delaney says this has created great insecurity.
In some ways, people have been hesitant to actually go back and reconstruct, or they have not been allowed to, in certain areas, reconstruct. And so people are still in transition camps or refugee camps, waiting for, you know, a green light or clearance.
And Callahan of Catholic Relief says although various governments can be given credit for trying to protect people by moving them inland, he notes they haven't asked the hotels on the coast to move.
And there have been worries that the tourist industry would benefit from these poor people not being right at the shore and move them inland. And so a large level of concern there.
Bill Crosby is a house painter from the Seattle area who went to the coast of Thailand after the tsunami looking for missing friends. Since then, he has made 2 month-long trips back to the area, turned his life upside down, sold his house, and contributed $40,000 in food, toys, and other direct aid. He has a website, Direct Aid Now. He says that many of the people he has encountered on the tiny coastal islands have seen little or no relief.
People are not even interested in going to these islands that I've been to, that have, you know, one of them had 260 families. That's the biggest island that I actually supplied. But many of them are 50 families, 60 families. My goal is for the people to be able to stay where they have lived for, in many cases, hundreds of years, instead of being starved out of where they live and being forced inland to where there is some aid available.
There have been success stories. Take fishing. Relief organizations with little experience on the ground often sent the best, most modern boats they had, but these were not always easy for the local community to repair and sustain. Catholic Relief Services was successful in getting locally made boats from India and Sri Lanka to fishing families in need. Another example is Niaz Dori, the subject of an NPR story about 6 months ago. From her home in Gloucester, Massachusetts, Dori began working with the World Forum of Fisher People. They raised more than $140,000, but that was just the beginning.
One group in Sitka alone raised something close to $50,000. So there were just a lot of little things that happened after that it adds up to maybe close to $1 million, I think.
But she says that when the first real money arrived 4 months after the tsunami, many recipients said it was the first cash they had received since the disaster. What has begun to emerge now that the 6-month marker has passed and real reconstruction efforts are beginning is the realization and consensus that this is a 6 to 10 year effort. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.